Welcome to another edition of the Big Pod Machine. We've got a lot of news and a lot of look ahead coming up on this episode. I'm Gordon Wittenmeyer. That's my partner, Pat Brennan. And behind the scenes, we've got the greatest producer on earth in Phil Didion. Pat, I'm going to come to you right now because you've got the latest on Ellie De La Cruz. Is it too little too late when this guy gets back from the injured list?
I don't know if it's too little too late, but I'll tell you what the situation is, Gordon, and then we'll work from that. As we record here on June 18th, Ellie De La Cruz today will fly south. He will go to Gwinnett, Georgia to meet up with the AAA Louisville Bats. He will play five innings tomorrow, June 19th, in a AAA game. He'll DH on Saturday, June 20th, against the Gwinnett Stripers. And then he'll play shortstop in the series finale there, June 21st. And then, as Terry Francona told us this past week during the Mets series, the earliest Ellie could come back is the middle game, June 23rd, the middle game of the Red Series against the Milwaukee Brewers. So I think Ellie has been champing at the bit to come back for weeks now. He didn't even want to go on the IL to begin with. I think it's going to be... They've been as cautious with Ellie as Ellie. This has been the most energetic, you know, IL stint, the most active, energetic IL stint I've ever observed. You've probably seen a few like it, Gordon, but the guy, it feels like he's been running the bases, which he was this past week, kind of adjacent to the Mets series. He's been so active throughout this whole thing. So it feels like they would have a hard time being any more cautious than they have with Ellie. I think that's the best way to say it. I expect he'll come back during the Brewers series. And no, to answer your question, I don't think it's too little too late. But it is, you know, to borrow a Yogi Berraism or a Yogiism, Yogi Berraism, Gordon, blah. It feels like it's getting late early for the Reds. They're not buried record wise and standings wise. They're not
sure
too
about
far.
That. They're in last place.
Well, yeah, but
they're 11 games up.
But they're only three games under. I'm thinking about the record and what it would take to get to a respectable place.
Three out of the wild card.
Yeah, I mean,
and they got a ton of teams in front of them.
Yeah, I know, but it's not even July yet. We're in mid-June, mid to late June. It's June 18th. I mean, look, on paper, they have the games necessary to turn this thing around. Obviously, it's the trend line is pointed in the exact...
Okay, hold up. I'm going to tell you what's on paper. The New York freaking Yankees at Yankee Stadium this weekend are on paper. You know what else is on paper? Seeing the damn Milwaukee Brewers for the first time this season. These guys have two wins in the division so far all year in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 series against division opponents, none of whom are the first place team. They're going to see those guys next. So that's what's on paper, dude. Not a good thing. And by the way, you know what else is on paper? We've talked about it how many times? September's gauntlet.
Yeah.
Toughest part of the schedule. So, I mean, they've got, if there's, I don't even know how many games there are, 20, 24, 25, let's call it 25 games in September. That's 137 games they've got to get themselves in the kind of position.
Hey, Gordon,
total.
Can I bury my own argument and further yours for a second?
I think I just did.
The last two, well, no, I'm going to bury myself even more. I'm looking at you. You make a good point about the Yankees, although Aaron Judge will not be playing. So that's in the plus column for the Reds going into Yankee Stadium. But I'm looking at not just the next six games against the Yankees and Brewers, but I'm looking through July 2nd. The Reds have the Yankees, and then the Brewers are part of a 10-game stretch against the NL Central. And really, when I say NL Central, I mean seven games against the Brewers and three against the Pirates. So I think I'll agree with you to this degree. I think by the end of this stretch on July, when the Reds resurface from 13 games against the Yankees, Brewers, and Pirates, we may have our final answer as to what this team is and what this season is going to bear for this team. Because seven games on the road at Pittsburgh, a place where they just do not play well against the Pirates. And that's years of struggle in Pittsburgh for whatever reason. And then seven games against the Brewers, four in Milwaukee. Poor. I don't know if treading water is even good enough during this stretch, man. Oh, and no, I think by July,
they gotta get back above 500. In that stretch.
And this is less than 2 weeks that we're talking about here. There's a couple off days mixed in, so it's like 15 days. I think 15 days from now, Gordon, we will know who the Reds are.
Yeah, because if they don't, like, let's say they don't tread water, like that. You to your point, that might not be good enough. But if they don't tread water, And they're four games under, five games under, six games, like whatever it is. I mean, they could get to 10 games under 500 fast. And if they don't get there during that stretch, if they don't tread water, they could be really fast approaching it. And then, you know, and then you only got a couple games before the All-Star break at that point. I think you got a week of games left at that point before the All-Star break. You could go into the All-Star break 10 games under.
And that
would be close to being buried. At that point, you're selling. There's no way around selling at that point. I will say this, you know, to kind of go back to your original point about whether there's time or not, you know, they've lost some close games, whatever. They haven't pitched well enough at times. They haven't caught the ball well enough at times during this lengthy rough stretch. But getting Ellie De La Cruz back this quickly from the hamstring injury, and Pagan might be right behind that. We know Hunter Green might be right behind that.
Pierce Johnson.
I don't know. Yeah, right. And so if one of the relievers can come back during that stretch, that might help. Hunter's probably not going to be in that. It'll be close, but he won't be back soon enough to probably help in that stretch. But Ellie De La Cruz coming back this fast from a hamstring injury reminds me of 3 years ago when TJ Friedl had an oblique and he came back in the minimum 10 days. I'd never seen that before in my life. And, you know, I go back to covering Babe Ruth. I mean, geez, I've been doing this for a long time. And so, I mean, that's crazy to me. Like hamstrings, they're not quite as tricky, I would say, as obliques, because obliques, you can kind of never know. They're in that rib cage area. Hamstrings, you can diagnose a little better, but this was not a grade one. It was a grade one plus, between one and two. And he's going to come back real quick from it. So that bodes well to me on two counts. One, he will be back in time to help during this stretch. Maybe that gives them a lift.
Yeah.
The other, like a quick lift. And then the other aspect of it is he played every game last year. He played through some stuff in the second half. It showed. He faded a little bit down the stretch. Certainly his power numbers were down. Having this break might keep him fresh so that if they do get themselves back to 500 or in a position to try to build on something in the second half, he might be better equipped to lead that charge in the lineup. And then you got Gino Suarez, who's hit a couple home runs lately, who, if he's getting on a hot streak too, we know what he can do for the lineup if he's even hitting an occasional home run and he presents that threat to the pitcher. So this will be I don't know if it's make or break, man, but it sure feels close to it. And there's kind of a hat. Well, it's probably a three quarters empty, quarter full type of a way to look at this, probably.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I'm not one for hyperbole, and hot takes, but I'm pretty much saying I think this 13 game stretch is make or break. I mean, it's hard to see it any other way, especially with these seven games against the Brewers. Scheduling anomaly, though it may have been, that the Reds didn't have to face them up to this point. They're going to get a quick, heavy dose right now. And, boy, you know, I'll throw one more name at you, Gordon, as far as guys that could help this Reds team right now. Tony Santian, it feels like, has quietly turned things around. I have a story on our website right now about...
That would be huge.
...where he was... Where he is today, he's coming off a really strong homestand, two saves. He has not allowed a run in his last six appearances. And by Terry Francona's own admission, Terry Francona, blah, he says he thinks that
Terry
Tony...
Terry Santion, yeah. Tony Francona.
Right. Terry thinks that Tony has figured it out. So that, just based on where Tony
was huge last year, it's hard to overstate how big he was last year for that pick.
And I mean, in so many ways, if you know, Tony never got injured. He never went on the IL. He didn't get sent down like some people were calling for. But it felt in so many ways like he just wasn't there because he was getting shelled so badly. For a really rough stretch, particularly in May, but it feels like he is coming out of that, and that feels, you know, people talk about Hunter Green, him eventually coming off the IL, and that feeling like a trade deadline move. I think Tony Santian, where he is right now, that feels like the Reds have gotten something that was real. They're getting what they want and need out of Tony now.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's huge. And if that sustains, that could be a big part of putting some wins together against almost anybody if you can score a couple of runs.
Yeah, really.
I'm gonna give you a statistic. It's not deep dive stuff. But
yeah.
A year ago, so 73 games in. So we're barely a week to the halfway mark. So that's huge. And these next two series are going to get us into Pittsburgh where that halfway mark is going to happen. But 35 and 38 is where they stand going into the Yankee series over the weekend. And last year at this point, they were on a bit of a heater and they were 38 and 35. So we know how they struggled at times in the second half. We know how it ebbed and flowed. It seemed to ebb a lot. And then they snuck in with the Mets collapsing. And they only did that on a tiebreaker, which you pointed out in your story the other day. They've got it against the Mets again, although I'm not sure that's going to matter this year.
Yeah, I don't. That's going to be for draft position, I think.
But just think about that. I mean, they not only have all the ground to make up on everybody to get sort of in position for this thing, but they weren't world beaters last year, and they were three games better at this point last year, and they've got the tough part of their schedule coming. So they really that makes everything is now like there's an urgency to this season. That's right now. And especially, this is my transition into a question I had for you, or at least a topic I wanted to bring up next. I've written a couple times about they're putting themselves in position to be sellers. They've got a roster where, I don't know, close to 40% of it's a bunch of short-term guys that are, six of them, six, seven are going to be free agents at the end of the year. Guys that they added in the offseason in many cases, guys that will have value at the trade deadline. So those guys were acquired to win first, but to be able to sell if necessary. And this is how they put together the roster basically since they turned that competitive corner in 23.
Yeah.
One of the one of the biggest trading chips that they have just because of what he is, a starting pitcher, is Brady Singer. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. He's making $12.75 million this year. He's not a guy you're going to give a $23 million qualifying offer to, because he'll probably take it and you don't see him necessarily as part of your future, I wouldn't think. So is it possible in your mind that even if with success here over the next 10, 15, 20 days as we get into July and Hunter Green's on that horizon, could you see a scenario where they trade Brady Singer or shop him either way?
Well, I gather you do, but it's going to be a favorable marketplace if the Reds do decide to go in that direction. And look, I mean, no one has enough pitching. no one feels like they have enough pitching. So buyers would be lining up for a guy like Brady Singer, who's just super, super steady, doesn't have flashy
durable
numbers.
He doesn't go on the IL. Answers the guy every just, 5 days.
The guy, he takes the ball every 5 days, and his starts might not be flashy, but it seems like every night, Gordon, you look up in the fifth or sixth inning, and there's Brady Singer chipping away, plugging away. I mean, there is a durability there, and an availability, most importantly, yeah, as the Reds have learned this season, that is just, it's hard to beat. And, I'm looking at his numbers here. Do you realize how many wins do you think he had last season?
9?
14. He went 14-12 with basically a 4 ERA.
I thought that was a trick question.
No. It wasn't. The numbers aren't
the thing. For about 2 months, maybe a little longer, he was off to the worst start of his career this year.
Yeah.
He's righted his ship in recent starts.
Yeah, he has. He has. He won on Tuesday. And Tuesday, you could nitpick the heck out of the 5 innings that he pitched against the Mets. And people did nitpick it afterward. But he still went 5 innings. And, the Mets are not a great team this year. But he made pretty convincing work of the Mets. It was really just, they stretched out his pitch count in the third and fourth innings, and that was pretty much the tale of his night. By the fifth inning, Terry Francona felt like they'd gotten as much out of Brady. They had gotten a good effort out of him, and that was the end of his night. But, this guy has more in the tank, it feels like. His best days this season, it feels like, are coming, and maybe coming soon. And maybe that's the argument for hugging him as the trade opportunities come in, the fact that he does appear to be rounding into form. But like you said, you have to look at Brady Singer, I think, in a broader context, and he's a guy who, like you said, might not necessarily be part of this team's future. It's hard to argue with your suggestion, Gordon, actually.
I'm reminded of a couple of years ago when they were kind of in this position. They had the expectations coming off of 23. They kept waiting to be better. And some of their young guys weren't doing what they had hoped. And they got to the trade deadline, and they were, slogging away at a little under 500, a little over 500. And they made some moves. They traded remind me of his name, the starter that they picked up in the offseason that year. I don't know. I can see him, and I'm suddenly blanking on him. But anyhow, they made a couple moves, including trading him, which they called kind of not selling and not buying. And I remember guys in the clubhouse weren't buying that. But that's what they were. That's what they claimed they were trying to do is kind of, it wasn't a full blown sell off, but it definitely felt like it was more selling than buying. But the idea again was you had a pitcher who wasn't necessarily going to be part of the future. He had been struggling, and he had put together a few good starts. And he's a guy, they traded him. I want to say he wound up with Milwaukee. Yeah, because he came over in the Joey, what's his name deal. And that guy's long gone. But anyhow,
Sonny Gray.
No,
are you talking to? Oh, no,
this was this was 2024.
I probably just embarrassed myself.
This was just 2 years ago. God, I know I'm gonna Montas, Frankie Montas.
Dang, I knew it was the opening day start of that year. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, even more so. So it's interesting. Now, the key to the whole that whole equation to make. Like if it's about if you think you can afford to do it this year and you're still trying to win this year, like unless you're going to kind of try to sell this in the same way you did last time, and it's really a sell and it's not a both way thing. That if you think you can win without him, it's probably because you believe Chase Burns can withstand a workload down the stretch, because what you said about Brady and his pitch count immediately made me think of Chase Burns and recent starts in particular, and his pitch counts. They get up there. They, you know, I don't know if he's feeling the effects of, this is his first full big league season. Every start is a big league start for this guy for the first time. He debuted a year ago, maybe a year ago this week.
Yes, right? That's exactly
against
right.
The Yankees.
That's exactly
against
right.
The Yankees.
Yep.
And so we're not talking about a guy that's got a great deal of experience. And they were super cautious with him when he had a little arm soreness late last season. They put him on the IL, which gave him a breather, brought him back in the bullpen. So it'll be a career high number of innings for this guy really quick as we get toward and into the second half. So if you think you're going to need to give him a blow down a stretch, skip him a start, shorten his innings in other ways, then you may not feel you have the luxury of losing any of your starting pitching. Now, that's if you're trying to win, and that's if they get on a big heater between now and the All-Star break, and they make everybody believe they're playoff contenders again. Otherwise, I think you're leaning as sellers now. And that's not just me saying it. You know, the national media is picking up on that. And I think ESPN had 5 or 6 Reds on their 100 players to watch who could get traded at the deadline. Oof. Singer, I think Singer probably goes either way, but if they think they can win, like if they think that's real as we get into July, that would be the one way that maybe he doesn't go. And Chase Burns could be the key to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you make a really convincing argument, an interesting argument. Brady Singer, whether they feel like they're contenders or not, you know, that's. You could move him for something significant, and even as you're moving off a starting pitcher, that feels like a full measure of that could end up feeling like a full measure as opposed to a half measure in support of this group for the rest of this season, potentially.
You're talking about if you could pick up somebody that would help you this year?
Yeah.
Because that's going to be awfully tough to do. Just because nobody who's contending wants to give up somebody that can help at big league level this year. I mean, even if it's a AAA guy who you're waiting on a debut, even if it's a AAA guy you see as a guy who debuts in relief on the pitching staff, those are extremely valuable guys. And certainly if you think it's a hitter that can help somebody this year, I don't know who gives that up. You're probably looking at prospects, a guy who's at least a year away in a best case scenario, probably something like that. Maybe. Or a change of scenery guy who's not getting the job done for somebody. You know, so yeah, I don't know. I don't know that you can. You get rid of Singer, and I think the short-term calculus on that is you're just playing without him.
Yeah. That
you're viewing it as just playing without him. You're swapping him out for Hunter Green and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. All good points. All good points.
Anyway, well, maybe we should leave it there and
kind of see
what happens. You know, let's reconvene after these next two series, Pat. See where these guys are and see whether we're going to have to bring a list of guys that we want to sell at that point. or whether we have a list of guys we think are going to be the difference in getting them to the playoffs down the street.
Yeah. Boy, it's
1 week from today. Should we?
Yeah. Hey, listen, it's exciting in a way. It's for all my friends out there that are Reds fans. I imagine if they see this upcoming stretch as we do, it's probably a little bit nerve-wracking, a little bit daunting, but I'm not one for hyperbole, but this feels like it could be in those moments are few and far between in the course of a 162 game grind, but this could be a defining stretch for the Reds. Really could. And there's really no hyperbole in that.
I couldn't agree more. I think that's a great way to tie a bow on this episode and kind of mark the date, circle the calendar a week from today, the 25th, Thursday the 25th. We'll be back to see what happened and where we go from here. So thanks, Pat. Buddy, appreciate it.
It's always
that's
my pleasure,
it. That'll
buddy.
Do it.
Hey, safe travels,
do it
buddy.
For another. Hey, thank you. That'll do it for another edition of the Big Pod Machine. For Gordon Wittenmeyer, my partner Pat Brennan, and our terrific producer Phil Didion, thanks for listening, and we will talk again in exactly 1 week. Take care, buddy.